I know Brad used to sing for us every once in a while, so we'll have to get him hooked back up to sing for us. And Caitlin, we just put everybody to work tonight. And it's a joy to be able to work for the Lord this evening. So pray for us while we're before you. Book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Go with me if you would. Reading verses 12 through 15. Verses 12 through 15 of the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah. He says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And then verse 15. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And stop reading there in those verses. Appreciate you honoring the Word of God this evening. And like to bring a message today that is so prevalent in the time in which we live in, and entitled, "Satan is Real." Satan is real. He would like for us to think that it's just a word, and that's all that it is, or just a saying. But Satan is as real as you and I are this evening. I'd like for us to notice that in these verses that we read, five times he said, "I will." I. Satan thinks pretty highly of himself, that he is able to exalt himself to such a high place and even make himself equal to God himself. Because in the 14th verse, the last part of it, he said, "I will be like the Most High." Satan knows that God is the highest. He knows that he is the one that is in control. But yet Satan has exalted himself to a position. And if we're not careful, he will become even higher in our minds and more powerful in this world in which we live in. He is very subtle in the way that he works. Satan doesn't just typically come to us and present himself, but he comes very subtle. In fact, he works in our mind more than anywhere else. And to deceive us, to lead us down the wrong path that leads to destruction. And in John 10:10, the Lord told us that he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his whole mission. Satan is unhappy, and he wants everybody to be unhappy. He's defeated, and he wants everyone to be defeated. He would have us to think that Satan doesn't do bad things, but when we look around us and we see all the bad things that's going on, we know that Satan is working very hard. In the book of 2 Timothy, in the second chapter, in the first verse, Paul told Timothy that we ought to know, if I can paraphrase, that Satan, or in the last days, I should say, that perilous times would come. And I believe that we're in those perilous times, don't you? We're in a time like none other. And yet so many discard what we preach from the Word of God, discard what you and I believe, and what we know about Satan and all of his works. But today, Satan has a great following. Used to be, and I remember in years past, we would preach about satanic churches, and there's still some of those in the world today, to where they would offer up animals, and even some that would offer up humans to sacrifice unto Satan. Today he has gotten so clever in his action that it's hard to tell his church from the real church. Everything God has, Satan has tried to mimic it. Satan has a spirit. God has a spirit. And we see that he has got this following in society, in our workplaces, in entertainment, that you've seen on the news the last few days that even some are boycotting Disney because of their recent actions and the movie that is coming out. I just heard about this driving to church tonight that has two lesbian parakeets in it that are kissing. What he's doing is he's embedding those thoughts into the minds of these children. And he's also putting it right in front of us that turn on a TV show and most of them aren't worth watching anymore because of the things of sin. And folks, let me tell you, some would say it's not sin, that it's just natural. Paul told us that men would change the natural causes, the natural affections of their bodies. And we're seeing this today, and everywhere we go, our neighborhoods, our restaurants, everywhere. And even in the so-called churches, we see that Satan is real. And he is boasting himself on what he is doing. He's real that there's no age limit to what he is attacking today. Whether it be children or young adults or middle-aged people or even the elders, that Satan is coming against and bringing his propaganda to before us. And it's almost like you can't get away from it. You can't get away from it no matter where you turn. Satan is real tonight, and our world needs to know how he works. And what is the end result we found in that last verse that we read in verse 15? That the end result is going to be that he is going to be brought down to hell for all eternity. The sad part is, when he is brought down to hell, many of our loved ones, if they don't change, will be called down to hell for all eternity with him. You see, today we're living in a time when nothing is wrong. And it's not just in society. I thought about this and as I was coming to church. You see, we don't have a societal problem. We've got a sin problem. We've got a sin problem that Satan is pushing his agenda because he knows that his time is very limited. He don't have much time left. And he is pushing his agenda to damn every soul he can to hell for eternity. You know, we look at it and it's when God gives me something, it's dangerous to be behind me or beside me because I'm trying to write as I'm driving. But I'm very careful, okay? You see, in most of our churches today and most of our people, Jesus has our soul, but Satan's got our mind. Jesus has our soul. I don't question our salvation. I question our motives because they come from the mind that Satan works on. Everywhere you turn, that he is working and pushing his agenda. He's very real. He's not a red-colored man with horns and a pitchfork and a long tail. That's not what Satan looks like. Satan looks awfully good to the natural eyes. But what he won't tell you is the end thereof, which is that destruction. You see, in most of our churches, the gospel has been replaced with self-help. Self-help. Satan says, I will. Do you know you and I can't do anything to change our nature? We can't do anything to save our soul. We are powerless. But Satan will tell us we're all right. Has he told anybody else you're all right? He'll tell our young people everyone else is doing it, so it must be okay for you. In fact, everything that God is against, our laws have made it legal. But just because the laws make it legal, don't make it right. There's a lot of things that's legal that we ought to stay away from. And we see this everywhere. In our churches, the spirit has been replaced with a show. Theatrics. A presentation that is given that will impress somebody. I say it's time we got back to the Spirit of God moving in the midst of the church, that we can force Satan to move out of our residence. You can't get him out of the church. In fact, I've said this many times, and Brother Holcomb, don't take this offensively tonight, but sometimes Satan will come into church and sit on the very front pew. That doesn't mean he's not on the last pew and every pew in between. He comes in and he's so real that what once was done in secret is now done publicly. There's no shame anymore. People used to, I remember growing up, and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas were embarrassed by their children being drunk with alcohol. Sister Mary, it was something that they didn't want anybody else to know about. Now we have parades where Satan is out there parading sin and catching the eyes of our young people and our middle age and our elders alike. Satan is very real. He not only was real in the time of creation, he is still real today. And you say, was Satan there in a time of creation? He was a created being. And because he revolted against God, him and a third part of the angels were cast out of heaven. And he has tried to make lives miserable ever since with his antics and all the things that he does. I said he's so much in the church today that he's not just in the world, but he's in the church as well. And God laid this on my heart, and some of you may fall out with me about this, but it's dangerous when we or our loved ones go to a church that does not have the King James Version of the Bible being preached and taught from. And I'll tell you why. Because so many of these other versions that Satan has introduced have taken out the blood. If you take out the blood, there is no salvation. If you take out the Son of God and try to make it plural to where it's no longer a he or a she, but it's a it. My Savior is not an it. He is the Son of God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I stand on the King James Version of the Bible. Satan has said through the years that we need a revised version where it's easier to understand. I say get saved and get the Holy Ghost, and God will reveal it to us. And it's still hard for the flesh to understand everything in this book. But by the unction of the Holy Spirit and not Satan's spirit, We can read and understand. God will teach it to us. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Look how far many of you have come. I'll brag on Jack in his testifying up here. Look how far many of us have come through the years because we heard old-time gospel preaching that touched our hearts. And it changed us. Not just our heart, but it changed our mind. That we now know some of the antics that Satan uses. And he's certainly using them today. Satan is alive and he's getting even bolder. Look at what's going on around us. His first attack was on the home. And today we are seeing more and more children raised in a single parent home than in the history of this country. We're seeing fewer and fewer men and women getting married and having a home. So for Jack and Maddie, I say thank God that we have examples in our church of people still wanting to go the biblical path. And thankful for those that are examples in our church that have kept that home. How many of y'all know marriage can be difficult? Some of you will say amen. It takes work. Because Satan has made it easy. I remember, and this is going back a few years now, but I remember whenever in this country a man and woman wanted to get a divorce, they had to show just cause, reason. And then the no fault came in. And now you don't even have to have a reason. You can just say, we just don't want to be together anymore. I still believe what God has put together, let no man put asunder. He's gotten so bold that our homes have been destroyed. And we see adultery and fornication all around us. And there's nothing wrong with it, according to how Satan is working with and his homosexuality that is gone. Just what once was kept behind closed doors is now being paraded up and down our main streets across America. This is not a message that many would amen, or that many out there outside the church would even want to hear. But I believe the world, and we need to know, he is alive. And he is alive for eternity. Because the Bible says that those that are cast into that awful place, they'll die, and they'll die, but they'll never die. We see it today with the transgender movement. Many of us, many years ago, how many of y'all remember MASH? We thought Colonel Klink, or not Colonel Klink, Max Klinger, was a joke. In fact, we may have even laughed at him. But now they're living next door to us. They're working beside us. And nothing can be done because the government says it's legal. Men with men, women with women, and now we just had it, what, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, where a transgender won the swimming meet in Florida. But then the governor stood up and said, no, because that is not a natural born woman. Men have no right competing against women. But see, Satan says, it's all right. They was born wrong. No, they was born right, and sin crept in. Now, you may not agree with me, but everything that is sin is the cause of the problems that we have in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods today. And some of you say, Roger, don't say Satan is alive in my home. Because I don't condone these things. But many of us have got family members that are or have fallen into the grasp of Satan. And folks, let me tell you tonight, I've known children that was raised in church their whole life. And when they got of age, they went out and pursued some of these things that Satan is offering them and broke mom and dad and the church's heart. How many of you know, you've heard me preach in the past, everything we do affects everybody around us. Everything. You get in trouble, it affects your whole family and it affects the church. You go for a different lifestyle, and that's what they call it today to try to make it palatable. It's not a different lifestyle, it's sin. Satan is alive. And we see it because he's destroying not just the homes, but he is destroying our churches. Many of our churches today have not recovered from the pandemic that went across our nation and across the world. And there are many that will never recover. In this time when Satan is alive and working so hard, we need to be praying even harder than what we've prayed before. Because there's not one of us today that can say, Satan doesn't entertain my mind. Maybe not with some of these things, but he comes in our mind. Jack talked about money. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. He tells us, you know, people say, well, I go to church every once in a while. The Bible tells us not to abstain from gathering together in the house of the Lord. The church is suffering because of sin. And one of my sayings that I said a few months back, as the church gets quieter, the world is getting louder. They're getting louder. How many people today, church is an afterthought anymore. Do we go or don't we go? When I was growing up, and many of you, when you was growing up, there was no question, are we going to church? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and some of you would be floored here. We even went Saturday night. And if there was a revival, I don't care how many hours they had to work, we went to the revival every night. I remember saying, I got homework. You should have already had it done by the time he got in from work. You know, Satan will even give kids excuses. Will he not? You see, in this little message tonight, we need to understand that Satan is not just a folklore. He is not just a presentation in the Bible from years gone by. But he is as alive today as he was then. And he is working harder today than he was then. Because he knows his time is getting shorter. And he wants to take every soul he can down to hell and destruction. He doesn't care whose boy it is. Doesn't care whose daughter it is. Don't care whose mom it is or whose dad, whose grandma or grandpa. He don't care. And years past, I had some eyes get big when I said this. But hell's going to have grandmas and grandpas there. It's going to have some moms and dads there. And it's going to have some young children there that came to the age of accountability and refused God. Now, if they've not reached the age of accountability, there's no worry. They're taken care of. They're in the arms of an almighty God. But for everyone that come to that age and rejected God, the Lord said they'll have their part in that lake of fire, which will burn and burn and never go out. We think that if we're not careful, that the things that Satan is doing, we ought to be more acceptive of those things. I seen a thing that was posted a few days, maybe a week ago now. that said any preacher, any pastor that will perform a wedding ceremony for a gay couple is not a pastor. And I said, amen. Brother Brad, before I will perform those type of ceremonies, I will resign and I will preach somewhere else. You know where the church originally started? In homes. Brother Clarence preached here a few months ago, and he said he received a letter after preaching a message about homosexuality and lesbianism. He received a letter from, or a phone call, and a letter. He received money for the program. That this type of preaching is against the law of the state of Ohio. If this type of preaching was publicized, I could be arrested and charged because it is seen as hate speech. Hate speech. And I know if we was in California, I'd be in trouble. And some of the other liberal states. But you know, if the Bible called it sin, it is still sin today, is it not? He said if it was wrong then, it's still wrong. And some people say, well, some of this stuff is new. The Bible really didn't cover it. Go back and read some of the writings of Paul. The churches at that time had some of the same problems. Sexual orgies. They had men with men and women with women. They had all kinds of bestiality. And you say, Roger, you ought not preach that kind of stuff from the pulpit. Am I preaching the truth? It's in the Bible. And if the Bible says it's wrong, then we ought to stand upon the Word of God. Again, if it was wrong then, it's still wrong. Sometimes I feel like we're losing the battle. And I'm just being frank with you. Because people think there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. You ought to just accept it. Get past your old-fashioned ways. And just catch up with the times in which we're living in. We sang a song. And then Tara and Jeff sang a song. That talked about this world. And how today that sin is raging. But I know this, that no matter how bad it gets, I am still saved by the grace of God. And I still know what the Bible says about it. Whether it'll fall on attentive ears or not, I don't know. But I believe that there will be a remnant that will still be saying amen to the preached gospel of Jesus Christ. I said the church began in homes, and there are several today that I hear on the airways that believe before Christ comes will be back in the home worshiping God. Because our churches will be shut down. Because we stand against what society says is normal. It's not normal. It's not normal. These things that's going on. And you know, I said this back when they was talking about the transgender. I said, next thing you know, they'll say that it's all right to have a desire for pedophiles. And you know what's going up, coming in to our country? And it's been proposed that there is nothing wrong with a man or a woman wanting a young child. I say, God says there's something wrong. Our normal minds say there is something wrong. But sin says there's nothing wrong. What kind of world are we heading to? And I preach this tonight because I know if time goes on another 20 years, you think it's bad now. You see how fast Satan is moving? It's going to be even worse 20 years from now. My consolation is this. 20 years from now, unless God blesses richly, I won't have to worry about it. But that doesn't mean I'm not concerned today for what the future holds, because Satan is showing his ugly face on every corner. Every corner. And I pray, Lord, help us. Because I hear the scripture that Paul quoted. Where sin abound, grace did much more. People say, and as I close, I've heard some preachers say that these that have performed these acts and follow this new thing that sin has brought upon, that they'll never be saved. I say this, as long as they have not sinned away their days of grace, there is still hope that they'll be saved. And there's still hope that we as a country would get back to God and put these things, what is wrong, put it behind us and repent to God for the things that we have done and for the things that we've allowed to do. Because Satan is only as powerful as we allow him to be. How many times has Satan put a thought on your mind that you had to run off? I'm not talking about these gross sins. I'm talking about just normal things. They don't like me. Well, some days I don't like me. So I can agree with him on that. You know, people don't like that kind of preaching anymore. Yes, most people don't, but there is still some that love the preach word of God. People don't need to worship like that they used to. Well, that's the way I got saved. I didn't join the church. I was born into the church. And I didn't have to wait for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got that when I was saved. And I learned along this journey that God is good and Satan is bad. He's bad. And I wish that our people's eyes would be open. But the only way it's going to be open is to proclaim the word of God. What society says is hate speech. And God says it's not a message of hate. It's a message of love. You know what God hates? He hates the sin, not the sinner. And that ought to make all of us rejoice tonight. He hates the sin. And yet, and I'm not smoothing it tonight by saying this, their sin is no greater than our sins. Because we all were sinners. We all were saved the same way through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we came to know him. And when we came to know him, we put sin behind us to don't go back to that hog pen anymore. Satan is alive. He's well. And if I can put this in tonight, he is growing in power every day. Every day. He is growing in power. And the only thing that can stop Satan is God and God's word. If we don't get back to the word of God, we have no power. We have no weapon to fight against what's happening all around us. And he is happy with what's going on. I believe that they're dancing and rejoicing about what's happening. The country that once was so God-fearing has now turned its back on God. Turned its back on God. We can no longer say, in God we trust. Our forefathers would turn over in their graves if they knew what's happening in our land today. And yet, for the most part, most so-called Christians just say, we need to accept with open arms. We need to accept with open arms. It's a different era of time. You know what the Bible teaches us? Times change, but God does not change. Times change, but God's word does not change. And the same measure that our forefathers had to measure up to is the same one we have to measure up to. God is not a respecter of persons. He will not hold part of the family responsible and let the other part go free. I remember in school, and then I'll close. My mom and dad was pretty strict. Anybody else live in a strict household? We weren't allowed to do a lot of things that other kids did. And I remember the old saying, every time I said it, it seemed like the answer was always the same. But everybody else is doing it. And the statement would come back, if everybody else jumped off the bridge, would you jump off the bridge? And they knew my answer, no. Then they said, you're not doing this either. We wasn't allowed. But you know, at the time I thought they didn't care much. But looking back, Sister Debbie, I see it took love to say no. It took love. Do you know Satan is real? Have you ever entertained him? I think we all would have to say yes. But when we saw, you know, he'll offer you one thing, but he won't show you the end of it. What it's going to cost you. What it's going to do to your home. What it's going to do to your life. What it's going to do to your whole family. He will not show you that. And what it's going to do to your soul for eternity. We need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost stirring in our country, in our homes, and in our churches. But it needs to start with us individually. You know, I see these signs anymore, you know, pronouns. You can't use he or him or her or she. I guess I'll just end up in trouble because I still call a man and a woman a woman. I'm not going to call you an it. I don't know what else to say. I don't know about this plural, how we're supposed to talk. All I can say is I am what I am by the grace of God, and I'm not going to change to suit anybody. And it might cost us. If time goes on, it probably will. But you know, I hear the writer of old say it like this, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor begging bread. Amen. Brother Brad, he's alive. And he will destroy your life and mine and anybody else's. He don't care. I said I was going to close. Let me share this with you. This is April. Since January, I've heard of 5 mega church pastors that have resigned. Some of them resigned because they had an affair. Some of them resigned. And I know one, and this wasn't this year, but it was a couple years back. One of them, him and her, was the pastor of the church in Florida, a mega church. And she resigned and went and started her own church because she found out that he was gay. That's the kind of stuff that's going on across our land. And there are churches, look how Satan is working, that are ordaining homosexuals and lesbians as pastors and preachers and putting them in the pulpit. Now, what is that teaching our children? I don't know about you, but there'll be church at the house before I'll attend. Amen? Satan is alive, and he is working hard to deceive as many as he can down to that lake of fire where he will be bound for eternity. And yet, our people act like there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. At work, they've got this inclusion group. They don't want an old-fashioned Holy Ghost preacher on that group because I would lose my job, first of all, because I'd have to tell them, you're wrong. According to this book, you are wrong. And not just this book. Look at it. It goes against the very creation of man and woman. Years and years and years ago, John Hagee said it like this, and I will close. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And it's still true today. Amen. Tonight we need to pray because so many people are being deceived. I saw a young lady today. Have you seen any of them that you have to take a second look or a third look to find out is it a man or a woman? I never had any desire to dress up like a woman when I was growing up. And I never knew any woman that wanted to dress up like a man when I was growing up. But now, that's the society we're living in. So I say, men, be men. Women, be women. And Debbie and I, a year or so, maybe 2 years now, had a little conversation. And I said, I wouldn't want to be a woman. And Debbie told me, Glenn, she said, well, I wouldn't want to be a man. And that's the way God wired us, is it not? That's the way he wired us. But you see, Satan has crossed the wires. And he's got so many deceived. Let's pray tonight because the need is so great. Satan is alive and he is working. Whether we wanted to acknowledge it or not, he is working in every one of us this evening. Let's pray.
Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, for your spirit. I thank you, God, that you've given us your word to live by, to teach, Lord, and to preach to each and every one that would hear your word. God, we're living in a time like no other, and how it must sadden your heart to see the things that's going on in this country. Lord, I pray that you would send, Lord, the word that would go out and stir up people's hearts to get back to the word of God and live by it each and every day. Lord, help us today in our churches. Watch over us and protect us, Lord, from the devil, Satan coming in and destroying what you have blessed us with. Lord, we pray for our homes and our lives that, Lord, that you would help us, that we would be able to defend off the very things that he brings into our minds along this journey. God, we pray for those that have gone astray, that, Lord, that you would lead them back and that they would get right things right with you and denounce the things that they have publicly announced in their life. Lord, we pray for your church. We pray, God, that we would see people saved before it's everlasting too late. Would you go with us now? Lead, God, and direct us. Watch over us. Lord, for we pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. I pray you got something from the message that will help us on this journey to establish our footing. And you know what the scripture says, when you've done all that you can do, just stand. And the only thing we can stand on is this book right here. God bless you. Have a great rest this week. Remember our services on Sunday and communion on Sunday night. We're looking forward to great times in the house of the Lord. God bless you today.